This morning, as I continue in the six stages of loss within our life, you and I need to pay attention to something. And that something I want you to pay attention to is called life. I want you to pay attention to life. Now, this will be a good key for you. Pay attention to your life instead of looking at someone else to straighten out their life. Pay attention to life, your life. If you will pay attention to your life and you will open your heart to Christ with your life, then you will see all the other lives within your realm in a different light. We must first look within, and in looking within, we will see the power to deal with the problems within our own life. Now, this morning will be next to the last message that I'm going to focus on in the six stages of loss. Next Sunday, I must tell you, is a message that God has really, really laid on my heart that I can't get off my mind. Because next Sunday is the stage of darkness. And you're going to find out something next Sunday that you more than likely have never even thought of. What happens in your darkest time? What goes on in the darkest hurt within your life? This morning, we're going to look at number five, which is trouble. Now, folks, if you're not having trouble in your life, take a pulse. If you're breathing, you have trouble. Not only that, you have trouble with other personalities. You have trouble, though. The main trouble in your life is your personality. You. We always look to reach out to others and blame them for what we don't accomplish. We said, they cause all of this trouble within my life. Well, the world cannot trouble God's children. The world hasn't the authority to get into the depth of your spirit, your heart. Christ does. We all have some kind of trouble going on in our life. Well, it seems like because of our makeup, if everything is going good, we'll cause trouble ourselves. Because it just seems like that we can't get along without some kind of trouble going on. God looks at us and he said, I want you to remember something. God has given us the trouble in our life to let us understand true living. Okay. Again, human being, before I accept Christ, whole focus all this year is going to be on you and I becoming a master link, a commitment to Christ. 2014, Vine Grove Baptist Church commitment to Christ, our commitment to life. It's the time that we look at ourselves. Human being over here is Christ knocking on my heart's door, spiritual. Now, when I say yes to Jesus, he comes into my life. The scripture says he is the Holy Spirit. So within us, the Holy Spirit dwells. Jesus dwells. God the Father dwells. So therefore, me as an individual Christian, I can only do so much. I can only do what God has called me to do. Now, as an individual Christian, I become a master link, meaning now the master is in me, but I'm just a link. I alone cannot represent who Christ is. I can represent to you a Christian. Sometimes, have you ever found that sometimes you don't act like a Christian? When you go to the stop sign or at the red light and the person behind you starts blowing a horn And you say, God, please forgive them. I hope that's what you say before you take off. But God says, now you're an individual Christian. Together, the body of Christ representing on earth is the church. That's you and me together. That's each one of us uniting together, each one having a special gift, each one having a special personality. The grouches minister to the grouches. All the others will minister to whatever personality we can best relate to. That's called a body of Christ. And we should be committed. If I'm committed to Jesus Christ, then I must be committed to his body. How do I know what God wants me to do? Through all of these stages, I've talked about prayer. Because you see, remember, you must attend. If you don't show up, how are you a part of the body? When you say, well, you know, I was with you in spirit, preacher. That just don't work, folks. Too many haints in the world right now. I don't want you floating around here. Because your spirit is in your physical body. Now we're on prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the focus of me on what Christ wants me to do with my life that he's given me. Lord, how do I serve in your body of believers at Vine Grove Baptist Church? Lord, give me strength for the day. In prayer, if you've ever been in combat, every one of us know that we prayed a lot. A lot of prayer. But looking back on my days in the Marine Corps, I noticed in Vietnam or the Dominican Republic that most of the time my prayers didn't start until I heard the zinging around my ears. You know, had I been wise, I'd have been praying and thanking God that I was even able to wake up. But God hears the prayer. And when God hears the prayer, God comes down. Okay, God says he loves me. He sent Jesus to die for me. Jesus accepted my guilt. Jesus accepted my pain. Jesus accepted me. And when he accepted me, when I said, Lord, forgive me, and Jesus accepted me, folks, I realize now I had it made for the rest of my life on earth and through eternity. But it takes a lifetime of living, it seems, in this body to ever come to that realization. And people say, well, if God loves me so much, why does he allow trouble to come into my life? Let me ask you, if you did not have trouble in your life, would you cry out to God in prayer? If everything is going smooth for you, would you even bow your head to the Lord? If everything's going perfect, how are you going to choose between right and wrong, as God says he's going to give us the freedom to do? If everything is just great, you're talking about heaven. It's coming. Don't worry. Every one of us will be dead pretty quick. And the Lord says, I will be there with you, Larry, and I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. See, so I know now the real me that's in here somewhere, that spiritual me, is protected by the arms of Jesus. And wherever Jesus goes, I go. You see, when I'm through with this body on earth, it's going to go back to the dust and the worms and all that garbage. Got it? Yep. It's going to happen. I don't care how tight they seal it, people. It's going to happen. Oh, you know, I want the air conditioned part. That'd be like me when we're looking at caskets. I enjoy that stuff, but I took my mom. She'll be 100 this August. We're in looking at caskets at the funeral home, and they're showing us all these caskets, and my mom and I are laughing about some of them. And I came to this big wooden, beautiful casket. Looked in and it had a drawer in it. And I said, what's the drawer for? And he said, well, that's for any good wishes. That's for any messages that somebody might want to leave in there with you. And I said, what good is that going to do me without a light? My wife walked out on me and my mother, shaking her head just like that. I thought that was foolish, putting it in. You're going to have a light. Next thing, you'll probably be paying for is a light in there. Tell them you don't need it. Because you will be in the arms of Christ. He will see to it that you are carried away. Trouble. Trouble is life. The scripture says that you were born in trouble. You were born in a miserable situation. And all the days of your life, there will be trouble. Trouble means that I can cry out to the Lord. Trouble means to me that the Lord is present. Because when one of his children is attacked, God makes sure he's taken care of. So when the attack comes against you, you're not the real one in trouble. It's the one who attacks the Christian. Because you are protected by the everlasting arms. By like the wings of eagles. You got it? God says, you belong to me. My son gave his life for you. My son shed his blood for you. And when my son shed his blood for you, his promise to you is, he will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. I don't care what bad case of the stupid you get, Jesus will lift you up. In times of trouble, do you not lift up your own child when they get in a mess in life? Do you not see the world as the enemy to your own child? Have you decided to turn them loose with all of the different devices on the internet, and you as a parent not know what they're doing? Foolish you. For without direction, without you as a parent watching and knowing what goes on. I haven't told you all this for a while, so let me remind you. Those of you with teenagers. Teenagers, right after the aliens take their brain. Teenagers go out into the world, but one of the great, I guess, problems that I've dealt with parents over the years is, what do I do? My teenager came in and slammed that bedroom door, all disrespect, yelling through the door, take the door off, it's your house, put it in the basement, tell them when they have respect, then you'll respect their privacy and give them back the door. It's not hurting them. Well, I don't know. They'll think it's murder, won't they? It's not hurting them. It's loving them. Because if we do not realize trouble in life means that Christ is focusing on us. As that child grows and trouble hits them in life, they're going to know who to come to. Mom, Dad. Mom, you remember when you took the door off the hinges? What do I do now? Because the world has hit me right between the eyes. Then we unite together. Then the church unites together. That's the physical body of Christ on earth. But if you didn't have trouble, you would not seek the blessings of God. Here's something else sad. Even many times in trouble, I hear folks say, and I'm talking about prayer, all we have left is prayer. Folks, that's all you had to begin with, is prayer. Why are you going through the hell you're going through? And then we're going to wait till you get to the bottom of the ditch, and then you're going to say, Lord, have mercy. Guess what? He has mercy. How about doing it a little sooner? How about talking to the Lord? And how about listening to him? You know why we don't want to talk to the Lord in prayer? We're afraid he'll tell us that we're wrong. want to hear we're wrong. We want to hear everybody's wrong but me. And if I go to the Lord in prayer and then he reveals to me that the greatest problem in my life is me, I got to do something about me. Well, what do I do? Lord, forgive me, a sinner. See, you don't have to do flips over a pew. You don't have to crawl under a pew. You don't have to do flips or anything else. All you need to do is cry out to Jesus. You see, Christianity, to become a Christian, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you realize that Jesus never said no to anyone who ever called on his name? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I was a whosoever. And I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, that's a prayer. God already knows that I don't know what I'm doing. But when you let the Lord know, that he knows, you don't know what you're doing, that's prayer. And then God sort of puts you halfway back together. You know why it's only halfway? You'll only let him go so far. Oh, Lord, now wait a minute. That's my private sin. That's my personal one. Lord, you're messing with my favorite sin. Don't do that. Let's go around everything. You want to know why life seems to be treating you so bad? You seem to be treating Christ, who loves us, that went to that cross. You treating him so bad. You don't trust him with your life. You don't trust him with your money. You don't trust him with your family. You don't trust, well, preacher, I do. Do you? How do you show trust? How do you show that you love the Lord without action for the Lord? How do you explain to God when you're looking at him and he sent somebody your way for you to work with, instead of condemning them, he wants you to love them? How do you explain to God the reason you don't love them is you don't like them? None of us are likable by everybody. Jesus showed us that one. You can give all the love, you can give all the strength, you can give all the protection, and people still won't love you or like you. The world says there is no God, therefore Christ is a fairy tale. The world says everything again just happened. You and I just happened. You know, I could deal with the monkey part better than I could the tadpole, which is the latest one. Little tadpole swarming around, and there you come. Well, have you ever noticed how foolish that is? Have you thought about this? During times of trouble, I cry out to God, and they say, well, who you're talking to? And then the next thing I know, all the scientists are sitting there saying, yes, the green men have landed, and we're finding out where they landed. They can believe in all of that, but they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. Do you believe in that super authority? Yes. And you know what they say? We're it. No. If you and I are all there is, then it won't be anymore. But we're not. God says, I love you. I love you enough to let trouble come into your life. I love you enough to let hurt and pain. I love you so much that I'm going to stand back again. And I stood back for my own son. And I stood back for my son. And I saw him beaten on that cross. I saw the blood. I saw the sweat. I saw the hurt. I saw your sin. I saw all of you in my son. And I had to turn my back in order for you to be saved. And I listened to my son as my son cried at Abba, Father. Translated for us, Daddy, Father, why have you forsaken me? It is during troubled times that I can look within my heart and that smile will come He turned his back on his son for me. It had to be paid, the debt for sin. No one could pay that debt but God himself. And he says, we are his special people, his own hand-molded creation. And he says to each one of us, I died for you. People don't die for you if they don't love you. Yet Jesus died for me when I didn't love him. Think of it. It's not based on my love for Jesus. No, no. Christianity is based on Jesus' love for me. God's love for me. I'm going to heaven because Jesus loves me and I said yes to him. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because of who Christ is within me. A little boy one time came up and he was praying at one of the churches. And the lady told him, said, son, all you have to do is trust Jesus. Well, it was obvious that that young boy had already accepted Christ. I mean, just what he was going through. And he said, how can I accept Jesus? I don't even know the guy. Think of that. How can I accept Jesus? I don't even know the guy. How could they know the guy if they don't see him in one of us as a Christian? They see him during trouble. Do you run during the trouble away from it, or do you run to it? Do you run to the trouble and then the world or the person that's in trouble sees Jesus in you? Isn't that scripture? Isn't it scripture that I am not to avoid trouble, that I am obliged to God to step out in faith no matter what situation is? Why? It's not to show them me, or not for you to show them you. It's to show them the love of Christ. And until you've helped your worst enemy to help hug them, go down in that ditch of life where they're truly hurting. You're not worrying about the beer. You're not worrying about the stench. You're not worrying about the sin. You're just going to get right down there in that ditch of life and you're going to scoop them up and you're going to realize something. That individual was created by God Almighty for a purpose. He is your brother. He is your sister. Lift him up and tell him Jesus loves you. That's our obligation. That's our blessing. Leading people to Christ. It's a term that's interesting. You and I are to be there when Christ, the Holy Spirit, convicts and Jesus sends them to us. You and I cannot make anybody be a Christian. You can't lead somebody to Christ if they're not under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And if they're under conviction by the Holy Spirit, he's already led them to you. Count it as an honor. God looked at you and counted it as an honor to send a lost person straight your way. A person that was hurting straight your way. God said, I'm sending them to you because I know you can handle it through me. God has never told me to take a step on my own. Nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in my ministry, hard lesson for me to learn, has God said, okay, Larry, you go and I'll be right back here. No. God says, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. I'll be there to help bear it. Did he not show us that in his own crucifixion? Did he not give us a message right there in his crucifixion? Many people say, oh, you know, how powerful that Jesus was with the beating and all, and never uttered a sound. But he couldn't carry the cross. What's up with that? You and I are what's up with that. Look at the picture. Are you saying that God, Jesus, who could have called multitudes, 10,000s of angels, really needed human help? In the human relationship, he was 100% human carrying that cross. And as he was going up that hill to Golgotha, the place of the skull, as he was going up that hill to Calvary, he fell. And he was helped with his cross by a fellow believer. Oh, he was told, grab the cross. By the time he got to the top, can't you imagine? Can you imagine the honor of being able to be known as the one who helped physical Jesus with his cross? That's a lesson for you and me. As long as we're in this earthly body, there will be a cross. There will be trouble. There will be trials. There will be all manner of evil that's going to go against you. And you say, well, I can't handle it. You can handle nothing alone. And Christians, that's what the body of believers are supposed to be about. Helping one another. Not gossiping, not putting down, helping one another. For Jesus says trouble will come. And you should say as a Christian, let it come. And you should be in prayer before it gets there. And when you're in prayer before it gets there, God says to you, it's for a purpose. Don't you think of it. You and I, we are God's purpose. To the point that he watched his own son die in horror. He turned his back on his own son. There was no time ever, remember, that they were ever separated, except when it came to you and me. You know why it had to be? We were in trouble. We were in trouble and had no hope. And God looked down. And when God looked down, God saw his son. And he saw me and you in his son. And God had decided that if he did not turn his back, you and I would have no hope. So on his son, he turned his back for this purpose. It was a guarantee for you and me that God will never turn his back on us. When I said yes to Jesus, there'll never be a point to when God's forgotten about me. My name's already there. It's written. It's sent up. It's there. I'm on the list. All Christians made the list. And that list is in the heart of God. And God looks at us, and he looks at us with love. He is not looking at us to bring a gavel down and say, "Aha, I caught you in that one." He's there to lift you up and to hug you. He wants you to recognize who he is because he conquered the trouble. Look at the cost. How many of you would have done that for those who hated you? Would you turn your back on your child? Think of it. Would I do that? Would I turn my back on my child for people who don't like me? It ain't going to happen, is it? If you had the power to pull your loved one off a cross or leave them hanging there, what would you do? They're coming down, aren't they? Remember as a kid of looking at the cross of Christ, and I always wondered, even as a child, if I could have been there, I could have helped him where he didn't have to go. You see, I didn't understand. I didn't know. And I can tell you this. I was called to preach at the age of 30. And at the time of my call to preach, when I opened up the Bible, I saw stuff in that Bible I'd never heard of. I was raised in the country. Great preaching, but no leadership, no direction in study. I didn't know it was even in the Bible. And I'm thinking, is this the right Bible? You know, let me get my King James out. Let me read it. Now I read all of them. But let me do this. Yes, it's there. Trouble is all around. Trouble will come to your heart. It's not a sin to have trouble. You commit the sin when you refuse to let God in on your hurt. That's sin. That's saying you don't trust Him. You don't trust. Now, Lord, listen, whatever's going on in your life, I don't care what it is, ask yourself this question in that troubled period. How much of your life and all the things that you're troubled with, how much of that have you entrusted to God? Have you asked God's blessing on your job? Have you asked God's blessing on your family? Do you only pray about your family when they take off running angry? Look at our life as Christians. We say we believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our life. When I believe something, you will know it by my actions. You and I will mess it up even when we're trying to do it right. That shows us we need Jesus. Do you ever try to pay a compliment and end up realizing you were in trouble for the compliment? Oh, are you saying then that I didn't look good before? And you think, oh, should have kept my mouth shut. That's the human part of us. The spiritual part of who we are, that's the power. Do I believe in the power? Yeah, I believe in the power. How do you know that? I trust in the power. It's the power of the love of Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is the power of who He is. And yet, right now in our own nation, we're being told, back off of the name of Jesus, when that name is the only name that should ever be proclaimed, for He is the Son of God. He is God. He is love. He is our salvation. Amen. That's who He is. And you're to back off? Let me encourage you. Look at the world. You're getting ready to see a lady and her husband who were Islamic, converted to Christianity. She's ready to have her baby. She's going to be hung directly after she has her child. And her husband's, I don't know whether they've mutilated him yet or not. They're going to be murdered. You know why? Because they refuse to renounce their Christian faith. They had to go to church. In this nation right now, the doors are open to churches and the churches are almost empty. They look for any word from God that they can find in God's Holy Scripture. They look for that. We shun it. Well, I've had enough church this week. I go every Sunday. That's enough. Let me ask you this. When the time comes for you to leave this body, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? If you're asked a question, why should I permit you to go to heaven? What's your answer? Oh, I was a preacher. Don't get it. Oh, I memorized scripture. Don't get it. Hey, you don't know who my mom and daddy are. Doesn't get it. I will stand in front of my Creator and I will plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I am in the presence of God because of who He is through His Son Jesus. And I happen to have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling me, as all Christians do. We just got to look inside self. Did we shut the door on Christ because of trouble? Have we shut our heart's door on Christ because we think God did us wrong? Because of the hurt and the pain and the loss of a loved one? This is trouble. From this stage, we go to the ultimate stage of what's going on with us. Darkness. What happens when your heart is so broken? You're so messed up emotionally, spiritually, and physically. When you're messed up emotionally and spiritually, folks, your body can't handle it. It'll drain you. That's called darkness. What happens when you and I raise our head and all hell has surrounded us and we see nothing but darkness? Next Sunday, you will truly see and hear God's word and what you're missing out on in that darkness. Trouble, darkness, hurt, pain. When you look to the cross, it just doesn't really seem like a bigger deal for us and our hurt and our pain. It was a big deal to God. He refused to let his son off the cross. His son refused to come off the cross. The Holy Spirit refused to pull him off the cross until it was finished. Listen, when Jesus says it's finished, read that book called the Bible. You will notice something. That the earth quaked. Everything shook. Hell had been conquered. Satan was defeated. God had shown the human race. He truly is God. And yes, there is a God in heaven who created it all. How do I know? He lives in me and all other Christians. And not only that, the Bible tells me so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for your strength, Father, to proclaim your truth. Give us, each one, the courage. Give us, Heavenly Father, what we need to serve you as we serve others. Help us to express that love during a time of trouble and to dedicate our heart to you. And in doing so, we truly become a part of your body, your Son, your Spirit. We ask the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.